relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Where, oh, where did that first hour go? Wow. It's great to be back. Great to be back. I hope you had a fabulous President's Day long weekend. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. It is time to join our regular guest, Conrad Black, Lord Black, the author of A President Like No Other. Lord Black, have you seen the footage at Mar-a-Lago this weekend after the president's acquittal and his return from the golf course?
I have. He was advancing at celebrity speed along Southern Boulevard that crosses over the causeway right beside and behind Mar-a-Lago. He was moving, as far as I could see, about 3 miles an hour in order to make sure that he there was as much at least visible contact as you could get with a group like that. I thought it was impressive, and it had to be completely spontaneous because they wouldn't know when he was coming back from his golf course.
Of course, and not only that, they had no idea that he would have been acquitted at the weekend on Saturday. Let me ask you, as somebody who spent so much time researching and publishing seminal works on prior presidents, were you as surprised as some were that this acquittal came on Saturday so early after the defense team rested after just 4 hours of argument?
Not really. I think there was nothing left to debate. There were no undecideds. The Democratic leadership had their own purposes in launching this harebrained nonsense. They knew it wasn't going to succeed, but they thought that tactically it would be a success in some way. So there was no point to prolong it. I think the Democrats in particular didn't want to start the process of calling witnesses because they knew that if they tied up the Senate for weeks on end, it would really wear down the public's patience with it, and it would, insofar as they're concerned with these things, inhibit the country's business as well. But, if Biden wants to take advantage of a honeymoon and make something of 100 days, I may say that, as you know, most of your listeners would know that phrase was coined for Franklin D. Roosevelt's very imaginative program when he came in at the bottom of the Depression in 1933. But a month has gone by, a third of 100 days almost has gone by, and they haven't really done anything. And this is a pretty strange attempt to pretend to be replicating the dynamism of the Roosevelt era. But if they had gone on for a month of calling witnesses and so forth, all the recriminations and escalating rhetoric and everything, it really would have taken public attention completely away from the new administration. In a way, it would have been a triumph once more of Trump getting everyone's attention, which is precisely what they don't want right now.
But remarkably, since the decision, the acquittal, the second acquittal on Saturday, we've had not only the call from the Democrat leadership for a, quote, 9/11 style commission to investigate the events of January the 6th, but also we've had the calls for some kind of truth commission to get to the bottom of racism and white supremacy in America. If this isn't a recipe to provide more oxygen to those who supported the president, I can't see what is, Lord Black.
I couldn't agree more. And I think you've got two factors here. First of all, at some point, this helpless addiction, the Democratic leadership, and Pelosi in particular, has to Trump hate, to just new recitations, new pretexts for returning to the big orange man evil line of thinking. It's not so much thinking, it's just a mindless reflex. But that addiction to that reflex is going to get them into trouble. I mean, the administration has changed. He's a retired person. And the country, even people who don't particularly like Trump, are going to get awfully tired of it. And secondly, they're going to come face to face with the problem, if they go any further in this direction, of unearthing things that demonstrate that the president was not the ex-president, was not guilty of any offense in the matters leading up to and concluding in the January 6th trespass and vandalism and death of five people at the U.S. Capitol. I mean, he warned them, we now know, that they might need more security. He said, you know, this could get out of hand. There may be some hooligans involved here, not our people at all. And they didn't act on it. The Capitol authorities, as we know, have since been fired, the Capitol Police Chief and so on, asked for support. And the mayor of Washington, that lunatic, Bowser. His name is. Yeah, Bowser. I mean, in the perfect image of De Blasio and Lightfoot or whatever her name is and the rest of them. They're hopeless, incompetent Democratic mayor. She declined it. And there's blood on her hands, in my opinion. And there is now, as you know, some controversy about whether the speaker herself, when consulted, gave the right advice about increasing security. But the more they get into it, the more they're going to find that they have nothing to complain about Trump. In that sense, it's like the Russian inquiry. The more they got into it, the more it came to light that the people at fault were the Clinton campaign that commissioned that pastiche of lies and defamations that James Comey tried to sell as legitimate intelligence, justifying an intelligence investigation, all of which were lies. Well, they're going to go down that path again here if they keep on with it. I mean, Trump didn't incite anybody to anything. The last thing that God's earth he wanted was an insurrection. And the idea of going through that charade in order to remove him from an office he didn't hold is almost too stupid for words or imagination. And I've thought that from the beginning. But if they won't leave it alone, they are going to look like fetishistic, maladjusted, hyper-partisans who can't do anything except sling muck at a retired citizen.
Your latest piece at American Greatness is called The Vast Bipartisan Pretense of Trump's Demise. And in it, you mention the Lincoln Project. I have to ask you, because they've been so utterly, just vituperative is not the word that describes them. How significant is it that over the weekend you had the head of the Lincoln Project resign, they've called in external auditors, and now your their donation page, this Never Trump movement that garnered $90 million worth of donations in a year, their donation page has been shut down. Could this be indicative of some broader phenomena in terms of how America and how the Never Trump movement relates to the 45th president?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, furthermore, it's a trend. I mean, there is, as has famously been remarked by the much more renowned people than ourselves, a tide in these events. And I think you can even see the tide going out in other ways. I mean, the sudden alteration of the status of the governor of New York from this confected hero of active, dynamic leadership against the coronavirus, in supposed contrast to the sluggard president who advanced the development of a vaccine by over a year and has been a benefactor to the entire world for doing it. Governor Cuomo's case, someone now teetering on the brink of a serious investigation that could lead to his forced departure from office or even his indictment, because we're talking about the needless death of thousands of people and a campaign of misinformation that may have been illegal in some respects. At the same time, we are now looking at the likely recall of the governor of California, Pelosi's nephew, apart from other exaltations of status that he holds. And these are the two leading Democratic governors in two of the four biggest states. And they were essentially heroes of the media a few months ago when all media attention was focused on the bloodless assassination of the former president. And their collapse and this Lincoln Project that was a fraud from the beginning, just essentially a bunch of people who were rejected in their applications for high office from the former president and other, you know, miscreants, misfits, and habitual losers. And it appears that they're stuffing their own pockets with this money. And even the identity, I'm not going to get into naming names here, but of some of the donors makes you, it just reminds me of how rich a country the United States is when so much money is in the hands of such silly people.
Let me just, for the record, note here, the Lincoln Project predicated itself on morals, principled behavior, and never Trumpism, raised $90 million. 50 of which the founders put into their own pockets, into their own companies as consulting fees. We're talking to presidential historian, financier, bon vivant, all-around expert on matters American, Lord Conrad Black, here on America First. Stay on this dial. Don't touch the dial.
President's Day. We have one president who's in the rearview mirror,
and one who is looking ahead.
One president who is nursing his grievances in exile and, you know, wanting to wave out of the SUV because he needs that support, right? And then we have one moving forward on his promises to the American people. The one who's really making America great, right? The one who's moving forward with his promises.
Don Lemon telling us the person who's really making America great is Joe Biden. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. If you're wondering where our YouTube channel is, we've been suspended again for 14 days because a guest of ours dared to question the veracity of the results from the last election in November, and that will get you in the sin bin. If you're looking for our videos, go to our First Amendment alternative. It's Rumble, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. They believe in freedom of speech. You can find all our videos there, rumble.com/Seb Gorka, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts. He's the author of numerous works, especially on former presidents such as Nixon, FDR, and Donald Trump. Follow him on Twitter right now, Conrad M. Black. Lord Black, let me just ask you on a very specific issue. We have Don Lemon of CNN saying, you know, the president who's really making America great again is the current incumbent. Should we read something into, was it too much of minutiae, too tactical, that his press spokesperson, Jen Psaki, when asked in the press briefing whether or not Saudi Arabia and Israel are America's allies, she literally says, "I'll have to get back to you on that one." Isn't that disturbing?
Yes. All I can say is it's not as disturbing as if he had said no, they aren't.
True.
For an uncreative response, if he doesn't want to answer the question, I suppose I can understand that. But the way to do it is not to take the Jen Psaki circle back formula. Obviously, the status opposite the United States of Israel and Saudi Arabia are matters of which any president of the United States since the founding of the State of Israel should have been able to respond to spontaneously, even if he was awakened in the middle of the night and asked the question. So, there were an infinite number of better responses, but all the best I can say is it could have been worse. He could have started in on the sort of left-wing nonsense that the House of Saud is evil and we must have nothing to do with them, never mind if the logical replacement of them, should they be overthrown, is an extreme Islamist government. And as for Israel, it's a criminal occupier of Arab land, and we don't believe, and no, it's not now. I mean, that, I think, is what a good many of the Sanders Ocasio group would have liked to reply, but he didn't do that.
The latest piece.
In fairness to the president, I don't think he believes that. I mean, I think he has not a bad background of being, a pretty good background of being well disposed to Israel, and I think he's been reasonably subtle in his comments on Saudi Arabia.
Despite the fact that a former cabinet member, Robert Gates, said that Biden has been wrong on every significant foreign policy issue for the last four decades, maybe he isn't as anti-Semitic as...
I don't think he's ever outgrown Delaware in his worldview.
Well, the article is "The Vast Bipartisan Pretense of Trump's Demise." We're posting it now on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. It's at amgreatness.com. Let me ask the big picture question, if I may. From Brexit to Australia, to Hungarian politics, to the MAGA movement, to Modi in India, we have seen a rise. I think the word populism has been perverted to mean something pejorative, but we have seen a rise in those who believe in the nation state's reassertion for the interests of the given state. Where does that movement stand in America today? How badly did the events of January the 6th hurt that movement? And can Donald Trump be the main motor for it in the future?
I think the January 6th damage is temporary. There is obviously a frenzied, febrile, wall-to-wall media and entertainment community attempt. I mean, I use the word broadly. I don't find many of them very entertaining, but that's another issue. That whole very important echelon of American opinion formation and leadership is focused on the complete fraud that January 6th one was entirely the terrible events at the U.S. Capitol were entirely the responsibility of the former president. And that proves that the former president is an evil man, a criminal, a gangster at heart, sort of gang leader of a violent kind, all of that. And every policy associated with him is to be discredited because of it. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. But that is in itself a fraud, and it will not be any more successful than the nonsense that he colluded with the Russians in the 2016 election campaign. And the fact is, they're not going to buy it. And if Pelosi is dumb enough to go ahead with her commission, they're going to reveal that the violence was premeditated by people who had no connection to Trump at all. They were just tag-ending onto this speech he was giving to his genuine, nonviolent followers who were legitimately angry because they felt they'd been cheated in the election and that the Supreme Court had abdicated and that the Congress wasn't going to do anything about it. So they were annoyed in the proper manner of democratic countries when annoyed people get together and there's some speech making, and that's the end of it. But the perversion of it into this ugly incident that occurred had nothing to do with Trump. I mean, other than in an incidental way, he was a pretext, and that will all come to light, just as the facts that infinite reluctance were finally released by Mueller and Weissmann because they simply couldn't hold it up any longer, and that is why I think the Trump hate movement, now without an incumbent Trump hate, is starting to destroy itself. I mean, if Pelosi goes after this, she's going to reveal the whole thing as having been a completely outrageous and unjust pillorying of the former president when all he was doing was speaking to his followers, and they all had a legitimate grievance, which they knew had to end in a nonviolent way. And that it did not end that way was not their doing. So the fact is, I think Trump is alive and well, and if he plays his cards carefully, and he's got to be careful about it, but if he does that, he can be nominated again, and he would win again. because this administration is not going to have, I mean, I don't think Biden himself would run for re-election anyway, but for reasons of age and so forth. But this administration, I don't think, is going to have a track record that is going to command a great deal of admiration at the next presidential election day.
Well,
so, you know, if Trump can do it, or if he doesn't want to do it or isn't appropriate, whoever is nominated by the Republicans will have his endorsement. And I'd say that front runner at this early date is the governor of Florida. I think
yes,
he would be a very fine president.
Clearly, Governor DeSantis is making waves in the best possible way. You heard it here first. Trump can get nominated, and he can win in 2024. This from a man who understands America's presidents. Read his books, the latest, A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Follow him on Twitter, at Conrad M. Black. Thank you, Lord Black. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your call's next here on America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
It'll be fascinating, and this is another show, but to find out why they did that, because everything you said is rooted in the science, but also in common sense. Anyway, I appreciate.
Well, you want to know
back.
Why, Tucker? The reason
yeah, I do
is
want to know why.
Around mid to late March, we were all given models saying you're not going to have any hospital beds in 5 days. Every governor got those models. I questioned the assumptions under those models. I didn't think that they were valid. And I said, I'm not going to construct our policy around that. But even if I was wrong, I would build more beds somewhere rather than throw these elderly people back into the fire of a nursing home where they could contaminate and infect a lot of other people. So it was just an important judgment that we were all called upon to make. And I think Florida did it right. And I think obviously other states took a different tact.
There you have it. I know you wanted to know what happened in New York. What is it? We have the leaks now. What was it that Governor Cuomo had to hide? Why did 14,000, that we know of, 14,000 senior citizens in New York die because of the coronavirus? We know that the governor of New York ordered those who tested positive out of the hospital beds they were in institutions that could care for them, that had the capacity, real hospitals, that had the ventilators, that had access to the drugs they could provide instantly if required. Why did he order them to be sent back to the nursing homes that didn't have the IC units, that didn't have the ventilators, where they died in their thousands? Did you hear Ron DeSantis? It's the best explanation you have been given. Because garbage models were being pumped. Remember the models about 2 million Americans will die of the coronavirus. Now, modeling, let's be clear for a second. What is modeling? Modeling, when it's not about physics or mathematics, is a guess. It is a guess. If you're not doing a ballistic trajectory or the analysis of electrons colliding against each other in the CERN electron CERN electron research facility, if you're talking about human beings, viruses, things that involve more social science than a hard science, it's a guesstimate. And the governors from Florida to New York to Texas to California were being told, if you don't do this, you're going to run out of beds. You will have no beds. And there will be carnage. What did Ron DeSantis say? I don't buy it. The science isn't there for that prediction. I do not agree. Cuomo, because he doesn't have that leadership in him, he doesn't have the spine, he's a member of a political dynasty who was gifted his position because of his last name, bought into the garbage in, garbage out modeling, and out of fear because he isn't a leader. He's a thug! You heard the audio, you've seen the video, he's a thug! He sent those infected New Yorkers, those aged citizens who needed help, back to their nursing homes, where they would die or infect others. And that's why they had to have a cover-up. But it's all falling apart in just the last 48 hours. Since that conversation with his secretary was leaked, whoever did that, God bless you. God bless you. It's not just conservative media. It's not just Republicans. It is the left. It is Democrats in New York who've said there must be consequences. And remember, this is a man who received an award. He received an Emmy for his utilization of television during his COVID press conferences. This is a man who published and released a book just in the middle of the coronavirus about his incredible leadership and how he was managing the pandemic, which led many, many, not just on the left, not just the sycophants and the bootlicks, but even conservative observers to say, ah, yes, this man, he is probably going to be the shoo-in for the presidential nominee and then candidate for the Democrat Party after Joe Biden. That is gone. It's over. It is dead in the water. Cuomo, we've got your number and we see through you. Your calls next here on America First, 833-33-GORKA. Our text line is back up. If you've texted us waiting for your response, it's okay. It is back up. 833-334-6752 is the phone line. The text line, 703-869-1262. But whichever way you contact us, don't do it on a cell phone connected to one of the big providers. The big cell phone providers are part of cancel culture. They're not on your side. They donate to left-wing causes, left-wing candidates, things like Planned Parenthood, gun control organizations. Join the good guys. Patriot Mobile, rated number one in customer service in America, number one, and they're conservatives and they're Christians. You'll get the biggest discounts if you use my name, especially veterans, first responders. Join their dependable nationwide 4G LTE network right now. Call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. You can keep your old number. They'll transfer it. Their team are amazing. And guess what they do? They donate to causes you believe in. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, sanctity of life. Wouldn't that be good? Join the good guys. PatriotMobile.com/Gorka.
Remember when men were men and the Democrats weren't lunatics? It's time to make America great again with our nation's most beloved legal immigrant, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Thank you. Seven names. Remember them. Senator Richard Burr, Senator Bill Cassidy, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Lisa Murkowski, Senator Mitt Romney, Senator Ben Sasse, Senator Pat Toomey. Those are the seven Republican senators who voted to convict President Donald Trump. I have to get, Eric has to check this out for me. Richard Byrd, only six of them voted that this is a constitutional impeachment trial. If Senator Burr, who's the seventh, voted against the constitutionality of the trial and then voted to convict the president, then he broke his oath. He knowingly voted for an unconstitutional prosecution. We're going to verify that. Anyway, you need to know those names because there must be political consequences. Burr, Cassidy, Collins, Murkowski, Romney, Sasse, Toomey are the Republicans who wanted to facilitate a constitutional cancellation of the 45th President of the United States. But they failed, just like Chuck Schumer and just like Nancy Pelosi. You know who else is failing? The people who are trying to cancel our good friend, great American Mike Lindell. Here's another list I want to give to you. These are the companies who are trying to destroy Mike Lindell. Dollar General, Kohl's, Kroger, BJ's, Bed Bath & Beyond, The Shopping Channel, ShopHQ, Mattress Firm, JCPenney, and now CVS. Why? Because Mike Lindell won't bow to the mob. Because he's a truth teller. He loves our Lord and Savior. And he is a patriot who supports Donald Trump. Why don't we send them a message? More than 100,000 of you did last week. More than 100,000 of you did last week. If you weren't one of them, do it today. Mike's going to give you 60% off. Just order anything, and you'll be sending a message to those who wish to cancel him. Go to MyPillow.com. Use my name, G-O-R-K-A, in the promo box. Whatever. If you've already got one of his incredible pillows, it's fine. Buy another one. Get one for your grandmother. Get one of his towel sets, the Giza Dream sheets, finest Egyptian cotton, the mattress toppers, the dog beds. Oh, my gosh, the pet beds. Our dogs love them. Whatever it is, you are strengthening your voice against those who hate what this nation stands for. MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Send them a message today that we do not kneel to the mob. Okay, it's been too long. Let's go to your calls, Matt in North Carolina, line one. Welcome back, Matt.
Hello, Dr. Gorgon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm very much enjoying your book. And can I make a comment about your caller about an hour and a little bit ago named Sam?
Sam the liberal, of course you may.
Unbelievable, Dr. G. You know what would happen if he was talking to me and I had a radio show? I would hope my punch would go through the airwaves.
Look, it's easy to ditch these guys. We have, you know, the best screener, Jeff, my producer. But sometimes you have to make a point because you let these people on. They want to try and catch you out. Oh, Dr. Gorka, if you believe in conservatism, shouldn't you be helping Texas and blah, blah, blah? They try to catch you out. When they fail, then they go ad hominem. Oh, wait, you weren't even born here. Where were you educated? And that's who they are. So, Matt, I appreciate it. You know, if you had your radio show, you may do things a little bit differently. But I want to show millions of people out there, then post it on Rumble, then post it on Facebook and Twitter, that this is the left. They are the most intolerant people on the planet. And we need everybody to know that. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Janet, Pennsylvania, line five. Welcome, Janet.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
carry on. Janet, we don't have a lot of time. You got to boom, boom, boom. What's your question?
I'm sorry. For some reason, I can't hear you now. Okay, the Time magazine article about the shadow campaign against Donald Trump.
The Molly Ball, the super long, article.
I did not read her article, but I've read a couple of conservative reviews, and that's what brought it to my attention. And it made me quite sad. I mean, we're like a caste system here. It's like the uppity-ups, and then there's us. We got to do what they say.
But are you surprised? Are you surprised, Janet?
No, I'm not surprised. It just made me sad. It was sickening, rather.
But that's the wrong reaction. Sadness is the wrong reaction. It should mobilize you. It should energize you. Even if it makes you angry, you take that anger and you turn it into mobilization to do something, to respond, to get organized, to volunteer, to speak the truth. Janet, don't get sad.
Is there any legalities that can be done here judicially or anything? I mean, they're going after Trump for no reason. I mean, was that an abuse of power by our Speaker of the House? I mean,
well, the big issue, the massive issue, is what happened at state level. What was it? Which state house agreed or did nothing in the face of illegal actions by those who went not only against the U.S. Constitution in changing the ways that elections are run in specific states, but what did they do in those states like Pennsylvania, where they have their own constitution and they went against the requirements of the state's constitution? So, you know, Janet, it's only going to happen if we demand it. So don't get sad. Let your voice be heard and demand it. You're in Pennsylvania. They broke their own basic law, the Constitution of Pennsylvania. Send a message to the state house reps that their political future is on the line if they don't get to the bottom of what happened in those states. Thank you, Janet. Get energized. Don't get sad. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. More of your calls on 833-334-6752 from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Pain relief that actually works. How do I know that? Because I took Relief Factor for 2 weeks and my lower back pain disappeared. That was 2 years ago and I'm still pain-free. Just listen to Ken from Arkansas. I've been taking Relief Factor for about 3 months, and I'm amazed at how much my pain has decreased. In rainy weather, I would be in ridiculous pain and just wanting to crawl in bed and cry. At this writing, it has been raining all day, and I feel just fine. Before Relief Factor, I never had a day when something didn't hurt. Now, most days, I have a great quality of life. Thanks, Relief Factor. I want you to be able to tell that story. There's only one way to find out how. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Order your 3-week quick starter pack right now. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
In retrospect, should we have given more priority to fulfilling information requests? In my opinion, yes. Yes. And I think that's what created the void. But do I understand the pressure that everybody was under? Yes, I understand that also. It's not like people were in the south of France, right?
What an arrogant piece of excrement. It's not like these people were in the south of France. That's Governor Cuomo blaming the staff of the old people's homes. I tell you what, next, it's not going to be the families or the staff. Governor Cuomo, in desperation, because this is the kind of pathetic little man he is, he will blame the victims themselves. He will say it's their fault they died, and they were going to die anyway. I guarantee you, he's desperate. And he might be just that desperate. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Please do support Mike Lindell, MyPillow.com. They want to cancel him, and we want to send a message. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's go to David in Florida, line one. David, staying on the issue of Governor Cuomo.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I haven't heard anybody talk about President Trump offered Cuomo beds. He offered a military boat to come out and everything. He could have got beds from President Trump.
Hang on, David. He'd had them. He didn't offer them.
Oh.
He parked
the
ship.
There.
The hospital ship was there. Remember, Cuomo was bleating. We're running out of ventilators. We don't have enough ventilators. We need tens of thousands of ventilators. They actually had more ventilators than they could actually use in New York.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I can't believe he would just, you know, push off the president as if he was in nothing.
Well, of course.
You know,
he just hates him. Thank you, David, on this issue. Kathy, New Jersey, line five.
Yes, hello. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
All right, we've got a minute and a half. What do you want to share with us, Kathy?
Okay, I wanted to say that the governor of New Jersey did the same thing. His health department, Judy, I think it was something like Piscatelli or something,
yep,
sent a letter to all of the nursing homes in New Jersey and the executives at all of the hospitals demanding that they not turn away the nursing home patients and that they had to take them. And they were not allowed to test them for COVID. So my husband's in a nursing home in New Jersey, and I watched people dying all through New Jersey. I wrote a letter to every senator in the United States.
Wow.
And I only heard from the two in New Jersey who both said all they were doing for the nursing home, which was nothing. And I wanted to say about the ships as well.
Doesn't matter, Kathy. See what I mean? People listen to this show, and they take action. And let's be clear, a letter is the equivalent of hundreds of phone calls. And they count them. They add them up. They tabulate them. And if enough people send letters, pressurize these people, they get worried. Be more like Kathy. God bless. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Tim, Phil, Brent, stay with us. We'll be back with more of your calls. Chris Buskirk, amazing audio. You have to hear the rest of the president's attorney here on the Salem Radio Network.